If ever there was a reading for our times, this is it. This is the word of the Lord. At that time, it will be said to this people and to Jerusalem, a hot wind comes from me out of the bare heights, in the desert toward my poor people, not to winnow or cleanse, a wind that is too strong for that. Now it is I who speak in judgment against them, for my people are foolish. They do not know me. They are stupid children. They have no understanding. They are skilled in doing evil, but do not know how to do good. I looked on the earth, and lo, it was waste and void, and to the heavens, and they had no light. I looked to the mountains, and lo, they were quaking, and all the hills moved to and fro. I looked, and lo, there was no one at all, and all the birds of the air had fled. I looked, and lo, the fruitful land was a desert, and all its cities were laid in ruins before the Lord, before his fierce anger. For thus says the Lord, the whole land shall be a desolation, yet I will not make a full end. Because of this, the earth shall mourn, and the heavens above grow black. For I have spoken, I have purposed, I have not relented, nor will I turn back. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. So I was driving back from Fareham about a month ago. As I came down the bottom of the hill, went round the roundabout, I was sort of on the outside of a very large agricultural tractor and trailer, a huge trailer. As I was coming round the outside of it, it kind of bounced a bit towards my lane. I had two choices. I could have slowed down quite rapidly, or I could put my foot down. Unfortunately, I put my foot down. And about 50 yards up the hill, there was a speed trap. Justice has been done. I have to go on a speed awareness training course. Even though I felt I could justify why I'd done that, I did it for the best reasons. But unfortunately, I broke the law. Anyway. Today we're looking at Jeremiah, and the theme is justice and judgment. I think I was set up with this one. In Jeremiah, it seems that God judges the people very harshly as disobedient and wicked. He hands out very severe punishments. And as bad as Jeremiah feels about God inflicting these terrible punishments, he knows the people deserve it. After all, you can't be worshipping Baal and Chemosh and sacrificing children and expect God to stand by just and watch. A world without judgment might sound lovely and gentle and very appealing, but without judgment, there is no justice. Victims would be abandoned and ignored, and the powerful would do as they like. So judgment is necessary and good. People sometimes say that God has anger issues in Jeremiah. It does say he's angry. But without that indignation against injustice, the world would be a pretty vile and evil place. Now, we've probably all seen at least one movie where an evil, malevolent criminal is holding a beautiful girl hostage, and his intention is that the hero, James Bond or whoever it happens to be, will take the place of the girl, who will be set free, while he is horribly tortured and murdered. A life for a life. Of course, it doesn't work out like that. In the movie, our hero overcomes all the bad guys, saves the world, falls in love with the girl, and lives happily ever after. Well, maybe till the next movie, at least. We see that justice is served by good overcoming evil, and a life is saved. Have you heard the story about the son of an honest judge? his penniless, hapless son comes into his courtroom with overwhelming evidence that he has stolen much that wasn't his. He admits he's guilty. The honest judge cannot and will not find him innocent. There has to be justice. So the judge hands down the appropriate fine that must be paid, or his son will go to prison. The judge then takes off his wig and gown, steps down into the courtroom, gets out his checkbook as his dad, and pays the fine on behalf of the son who he loves, who is now free to go. Justice is done, and the penalty is paid. In John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, it says, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. So judgment happens, a life for a life. The innocent pays the full ransom price. For the guilty, we are set free." We all know the Ten Commandments, right? So who here has sinned today? Hold on a minute. Don't put your hand up yet. Just the odd murder, theft, coveting your neighbour's donkey, BMW, five-star holidays, whatever it happens to be. Before you raise your hand, just remember what Jesus said. Jesus said, the first commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And he said, this is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like this, love your neighbour as yourself. So now you can put your hand up if you've probably broken a commandment today. Billy Graham said, modern man does not like to think of a Christian God in terms of wrath, anger, and judgment. We like to make God according to our own ideas and give God the characteristics we want him to possess. Rather than the God of the Bible, we try to remake God to conform to our own wishful thinking, so that we can make ourselves comfortable in our sins and failings. This modern, comfortable God has the attributes of love, mercy, and forgiveness, but is actually without justice. The truth is, we don't want to be judged. We don't want to be punished for our failings. So we reconstruct God along the lines of tolerance, all-embracing love, and universal goodwill. However, back to Jeremiah. In chapter 2, verse 35, he makes a very interesting point. You say, I am innocent. God isn't angry with me. But God replies, I will pass judgment on you because you say, I have not sinned. Jesus tells us that all people have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So it's wrong of us to think we're not sinners. Sin is our human nature, rebelling against our complete submission to and acceptance of God and his best plans for us. That word sin, actually S-Y-N, comes from an old English word that archers used when they missed the mark or target. So do we all realise? And do we accept that we miss the target that God has for us? That's why we're all sinners. We've all been given one unique gift, and that gift is a life, which to the world at least seems to end in death. Remember Romans 6:23? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This verse is arguably the most precise and concise gospel presentation in all of Scripture. It leads us to understand that we have a sinful nature whilst promising us eternal life in Christ. There are 158 references to judgment in the Bible. Hundreds of passages point to a time of judgment for every person who has ever lived. It says none can avoid it. But good news, don't panic. All is not lost. We are no longer just miserable sinners. Jesus has redeemed each and every one of us, and our just punishments have been paid. Those of you who know me will know this. One of my favourite people in the Bible is that poor robber on the cross next to Jesus. Firstly, he recognises he was receiving justice for his crimes. But then he acknowledges Jesus for who he is. He says, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus says to him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." So it seems we are justified by faith in Jesus. We don't know what happened to the other robber. Back to Jeremiah. A little later on in Jeremiah, he seems to have moved on from simple judgment and justice to more sort of faith and grace. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." What a wonderful verse. But there is a common problem for people. We can be proud, arrogant, and we desire to be self-sufficient. Our lack of humility makes us want God as a convenient side order, not the main course. Some say we like to be in control. We like to be in the driving seat, like I was. Not to live by faith, truly submitting to and trusting in God. So we have a choice to make. Do we acknowledge our failings and accept that we do deserve to be judged? Are we willing to consecrate ourselves and submit completely to God? Can we recognize that every second of our time, every ounce of our energy, and every penny of our money is a gift from God? And it's for God. So it seems, fortunately for us, God's justice is not simply a matter of formal fairness, equality, and just deserts. Psalm 103 has a lovely verse. It says, "If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, who could stand before you? But with you there is forgiveness." There are many scriptures demonstrating that to God, justice is more flexible, more personal and more compassionate than it would be if it were just a set of rigid rules and punishments. God doesn't deal with us as our wrongdoing deserves. God pursues justice within a context of grace. Grace for those who are wronged and grace for those who are wrongdoers. In Titus it says, "We are justified by his grace." And in Romans it says, "We are justified freely by his grace." Grace is that completely undeserved, astonishing, overwhelming kindness and generosity of God. As Christians, with all our imperfections and failures, because Christ has died in our place, when he looks at us through a sort of lens of Jesus Christ and all that Jesus did for us. And he chooses to see us as holy and blameless. And he gives us an amazing choice. Believe and be redeemed. Or wait and see. What about judging other people? Jesus tells us in Matthew, the parable about removing a speck of dust from your brother's eye when there's a massive plank in your own, that we shouldn't do that kind of thing. He's telling us not to be hypocrites. Don't take the focus off yourself and look at other people and try to make them out to be bad people by criticizing them. We don't like considering ourselves as sinners, but we do like judging other people, especially obviously bad people. You know, the racists, the murderers, the muggers. Sometimes people even use a little phrase, it says, they say, "Don't judge me," to sort of justify their behaviour. But Jesus tells us, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged." So, what do you think? Have we all sinned and deserve God's judgment? Did the hero in our real-life movie, who died, Jesus, that is, sorry, in our real-life movie, who lived a sinless life, did he love and care for us so much that he died for our sins, taking the punishment that we deserve so that we can be set free? Did God, our loving Father, the judge, did he pay the enormous fine and satisfy his justice and judgment and set us free? So if we truly believe and trust this in our hearts, recognizing Jesus as our Savior, we, like the robber on the cross, are saved from judgment, and we can spend eternity with God starting right now. Let me finish with that verse of Scripture. John 3:17. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. With Jesus, there is justice and judgment.